One of the most haunting stories that I know came out of Eastern Europe in the late 1930s. It's a story about a little boy who was living in a small Polish village when he and all of the other Jewish adults and children in the vicinity were rounded up by Nazi troops and sentenced to death. The boy joined his family and his neighbors in digging a shallow ditch for their own graves. And then they were lined up against a wall and machine gunned to death. But none of the bullets hit that little boy. His naked body was splattered with the blood of his family and his neighbors as he fell into the ditch. He pretended to be dead. And the grave was so shallow that the thin covering of dirt over the top of it did not prevent him from breathing. So he stayed there for several hours. And when darkness fell, that 10-year-old boy crawled out of his grave, covered with blood and dirt. He made his way to the nearest home and he begged for help. The woman who answered the door immediately recognized him as one of the Jewish children who had been condemned by the Nazis. So she screamed at him to go away and slammed the door. Dirty and bloody and shivering, he limped from one house to the next, begging for help, but he always got the same response. People were afraid to help him. But finally, in desperation, he knocked on a door. And just before the lady of the house could tell him to leave, he cried out to her and he said, "Look at me. Look. Don't you recognize me? I am the Jesus you say you love." And she stopped there for what seemed like an eternity to a child until she fell to her knees and threw open her arms. She gathered him up and took him inside and cleaned him and dressed him and gave him a home. "Look at me. Look. Don't you recognize me? I am the Jesus you say you love." This past week, I have spoken to a number of teenagers and parents, both in this church and outside this church in the larger community, and they have told me disturbing stories of bullying, both in school and in the neighborhoods of Mechanicsburg. I asked one 12-year-old if he had ever heard the saying, "Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me." And before I could tell him that that old saying is an outright lie, he said to me, "It isn't always true, is it?" A wise young man of 12. The name calling and the intimidation does hurt, and the trauma of it lasts for years, if not for a lifetime. Some of the kids in this church are the victims of bullying like that. And to be honest with you, some of the kids in this church are the bullies too. But mostly the kids in this church simply stand by and watch. Each time someone is bullied and you witness it, listen very carefully. Listen with your ears, but also listen with your heart. And I'm confident that you'll hear those words again. "Look at me. Look. Don't you recognize me? I'm the Jesus you say you love. And then perhaps you will be encouraged to say, no more of this. We don't treat people like this in our school or in our neighborhood. And if you need help standing up to a bully, there are lots of folks here who are willing to help you. But there's something else about bullies I haven't told you yet. You know, bullies who are children and teenagers grow up. And when they're adults, they can be bullies too. And there are still bullies that you and I have to deal with even when we're finished with school. And we don't play in the lawns and in the parks of the neighborhood. There are still bullies to be dealt with. You see, that is exactly what was happening to Jesus. It was the same in his day as it is in ours. Jesus was being bullied. There were bullies who were hounding him. And they weren't school bullies or neighborhood bullies. The bullies that Jesus dealt with were the worst kind of bullies that there are. They were religious bullies. And I'm not kidding when I say they're the worst kind. They wanted to know what right Jesus had to do the things that he did. What right did he have to teach the things that he taught? And they wanted him to stay away from their parts of town, and they wanted him to get out of their school. And Jesus said to them, in effect, Jesus said to them, look at me. Look, don't you recognize me? I am the God you say you love. But they did not gather him up and give him a home. They tortured him and killed him, this child of God. And they tried to teach the world that it's okay to treat others that way. And sisters and brothers, there are still plenty of religious bullies in our world who are trying to convince us the same, that it's okay to treat other people like that. It is, after all, a risky thing to take Jesus up and give him a home. A risky thing. That Polish woman put herself in mortal danger by providing a home for that little Jewish child. How would she explain to the neighbors where he had come from or who he was? How would she explain his presence to the Nazi troops who patrolled her village day by day? It was a dangerous thing for Jesus' followers to stand up to the religious leaders of their day. They were powerful people, and they didn't always do such a good job of it. At first, Jesus' followers let Jesus take all the heat. And then they ran away, and they denied that they even knew him. But eventually, after a while, they gained their courage, and they began to make a home for Jesus in their own lives, and in their world, and in our world. It's a risky thing to stand up to a bully. Sometimes the person who stands up to the bully gets in more trouble than the bully does. But that's a risk that you take when you make a home for Jesus in your life, and in your school, and in your neighborhood. Jesus told a story about two sons. The first of them, when asked by his father to tend the crops, said that he would not do it. But then he changed his mind and did what his father asked. The second son said he would do what his father asked, but then he didn't go to the fields and work. Which of the two did what the father wanted, Jesus asked? It was the first one, of course. The one who at first resisted, but then did what was asked of him. There were lots of folks whom Jesus encountered. Lots of folks who said yes to God, but then didn't do anything about it. Things haven't changed very much. They are the ones who talk about God and claim to be good. They generally have a pretty high opinion of themselves, and sometimes they turn out to be bullies. Then there are the folks who have tough lives. Sometimes they haven't had a chance to be good. Sometimes they have had a chance to be good, and they simply have made bad choices and made them over and over, and maybe they've even been bullies. But then they come to a time in their lives like I have, like you have. They not only take Jesus up and lay claim to Him, but they make a home for Him in their lives. They're willing to give themselves to being the kind of people Jesus calls them to be and to doing the kinds of things that Jesus calls them to do. They are willing to give of their substance and their resources sacrificially to do the work that Jesus is doing. They stand up to bullies. They get in between bullies and their victims. They take risks in order to follow Jesus and follow Him faithfully. These are the ones, Jesus said, who enter the kingdom of God first. It's never easy. Not easy at all. But it's worth the sacrifice. It's worth the trouble. Look at me. Look. Don't you recognize me? I'm the Jesus you say you love. If you listen very carefully, not only with your ears, but listen with your hearts, and you will hear those words. You will hear them being spoken by anyone who's ever been the victim of a bully, but you will also hear those words being spoken by the faces and the tears that we see on television screens, those who have lost so much in the Gulf Coast region of our nation over the past couple of weeks. Look at me, don't you recognize me? And you will hear those words. You will hear those words coming from the hearts of Iraqi women and men and children, and African folks who are the victims of civil war and terrorism. You will hear those words coming perhaps from the person sitting next to you or your neighbor across the street. When you listen with your heart, that's what they'll be saying. Look at me. Look, don't you recognize me? I'm the Jesus you say you love. So we gather here to worship. And our purpose in worshiping is to gain the strength that we need as disciples of Jesus and as the community of faith, to gain the strength and the determination that we need to do the hard work that needs to be done. The hard work of hearing those words and then spreading our arms and taking them up. All of these others who really are Jesus in disguise. Making a home for Jesus in our own lives by the ways that we live, the things that we do. Look at me. Don't you recognize me? I'm the Jesus you say you love. Listen carefully. I'm confident that if you listen with your heart, you will hear those words in many places today and this week. And when we meet again, you will have great and gracious stories to tell about the ways that God has reached to you through those others who have needs that you can address because you are an agent of God's grace. God, give us the courage so to live. Amen.